Good morning. I want to welcome all of you to this service of worship here at Everybody's Church, First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham, Michigan, where we celebrate by serving Christ through mission, inclusion, and community. A lot going on right now in the life of the church. Today, we have two events on Zoom, of course, where else? At 3:30, we have, for families, an Advent lighting celebration activity, and so you can find the link in your weekly email. At 5 o'clock, we have a Zoom Rejoicing Spirits service. Rejoicing Spirits is our service for people of all abilities, and that will take place again at 5 o'clock. The Zoom link is on the email. On the 10th of December, we are doing a Zoom Advent by Candlelight. For all of those of you who have done Advent by Candlelight in the past, know that it's coming up on the 10th. Bethany asked me to remind all of you about Month of Mission. If you haven't logged your hours, please do that. We have a couple more days to reach our 5,000 hours. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you who have sent in your pledges and continue to pay your pledges. We greatly appreciate that as we plan for 2021. The flower is for Ryan Marshall Samuels, son of Sam and Steve Samuels, born about a week and a half ago. So we celebrate with them. And want to welcome Gregory. Gregory Ash is back with us to help lead in worship. And now let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in calling ourselves to worship. Listen to us, O Shepherd of Israel. You've led us through the years. We are in need of your presence. We are in need of your power. Let your light shine upon us that we might be saved. Let your light shine upon us that we might find life. Let us worship God.
Thank you. The world tries to teach us that hope is foolish.
But God tells us that we should not fear.
The living God tells us that we should hold on to hope.
As we light this candle, let us not be afraid to hold on to hope, because our God is with us now and always.
God of past, present, and future, we thank you that you have promised to be with us now and always. Help us to hold on to hope, even in the most difficult times.
Catherine and James just lit our Advent candle of hope. Do not be afraid is our Advent theme this year. These words are found in numerous scripture passages, one you just heard, and are often followed by words of hope. So how can we hold hope in a time when life seems so uncertain? When we're living in the midst of a pandemic, when our country's divided, when we lose loved ones, and when we are separated from loved ones out of necessity. Last week, John spoke about us carrying light to the world, and I've noticed that Christmas lights are going up even earlier than usual this year. These lights are shining light in the darkness and offering cheer and hope to our neighbors in these darker months in Michigan. We light Advent candles each year in anticipation and hope of the coming Christ child. And I hope families will join me later this afternoon at 3:30 to do this together. Are there everyday practices that help you hold on to hope, that remind you of God's faithful care, especially in anxious times? Plants and nature, as I've shared with you before, are a visible sign of hope for me. When I first started here 21 years ago, the Staff Relations Committee gave me a Christmas cactus, which still resides in my office, miraculously living and blooming every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas due to very irregular watering. At home, I have some orchids that are constantly blooming by no efforts of mine, but which surprise me with their blooms. And when it looks like there will be no more, Forrest always manages to bring home another one in full bloom. And I'm reminded and of God's constant care when I'm surprised by those blooms. Some people are reminded of God's faithful presence in the sighting of cardinals. Excuse me. Their brilliant and startling red plume remind us and surprise us, remind us of God's presence. I find myself reaching for these small signs of hope and finding comfort in the visible and sometimes surprising reminders. What visible signs do you hold on to in anxious times? What helps you hold on to hope? Just before Christmas this year, we are going to be creating an illuminated prayer walk around the entire church building. But we need your help to do this. We're going to have signs with the hopes of our community displayed on them. And we're asking each of you to prayerfully consider what your hopes for our community are and to write them down and send them to Bethany at her email address, bethany@everybodyschurch.org, by December 10th. So we have time to put it all together. It will be on display from December 17th through December 24th. So look forward to your help in that. There are times when we dwell on the anxious thoughts that overwhelm us, forgetting to hold on to the hope in Christ that we have, that all things are possible. Let us confess our sin together. God of creation and salvation, we confess to you that we often fail to hope. We admit it is easier to give ourselves over to what is rather than believe that in you there are things that can and will be. During this Advent, that we might believe in a better future. In Jesus' name. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the good news, that we are forgiven, that in Jesus all things are made possible and new, and we can begin again.
To the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
Join me in our prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you, and also with you. God of creation and redemption, as we read these scriptures, bring us your understanding and reveal your truth, that we might discover the blessings you intend for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first Testament lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, the first 10 verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who has roused a victor from the east, summoned him to his service? He delivers up nations to him and tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his bow. He pursues them and passes on safely, scarcely touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am first and will be the last. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, "Take courage." The artisan encourages the goldsmith, and the one who smooths with the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, "It is good." And they fasten it with nails so that it cannot be removed. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." The word of the Lord.
Life my soul hath seen, laden with fruit and always green. The tree of life my soul hath seen, laden with fruit and always green. The tree of nature fruitless be, compared with Christ the apple tree. His beauty doth all things excel, by faith I know, but ne'er can tell. His beauty doth all things excel, by faith I know, but ne'er can tell. The glory which I now can see in Jesus Christ the apple tree. I long have sought, and pleasure dearly I have bought. For happiness I long have sought, and pleasure dearly I have bought. I missed all but now I see 'tis found in Christ the apple tree. I'm weary with my former toil. Here I will sit and rest a while. I'm weary with my former toil. Here I will sit and rest a while. Under the shadow I will be of Jesus Christ, the apple tree. This fruit fruit doth make my soul to thrive. It keeps my dying faith alive. This fruit doth make my soul to thrive. It keeps my dying faith alive, which makes my soul in haste to be with Jesus Christ, the apple tree.
Thank you, Gregory. That was wonderful. It's good to have folks back in worship again. And just remind people that reservations will be taken on Thursday, I think 9 a.m. They will open up. So that's how you can come and be part of this. So we pick up our readings this morning with the traditional Lucan story of the Annunciation out of chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of the Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of the Lord. He was filled with all sorts of hopes and dreams. Marvin was 18 years old, and he knew exactly what he wanted to do with his life. What he wanted to do was to become a firefighter. And he was already taking courses at night for the things he needed to know to do that. But his life was about to take an entirely different trajectory. In the neighborhood where he lived, there had been a horrific assault and robbery. And the police called Marvin in and just said, do you know anything about this? Have you heard anything about this? And he said, yes. The scuttlebutt in the neighborhood is that there is this guy whose last name is Lincoln, that someone saw him steal a bicycle, and the bicycle was found at the scene of the assault. And so everybody thinks that Lincoln is the guy. Thanks, police said, and off he went. A few days later, the police showed up at his house and arrested him and charged him with the crime. They initially thought about him for the crime because the person who was assaulted, the victim said that the black man who assaulted her had a white girlfriend, and Marvin did. And so they had zeroed in on him as a suspect. But what they needed was some sort of identification by the victim. And so, because his record was clean, there were no mugshots, there was nothing in the system about him. And so they went to his place of work, and they took a color picture of his color ID. And they took it back to the station, and on multiple pages of mugshots that they were going to show the victim, they put his color picture along with black and white mugshots on every page that they showed the victim. And finally, after turning each page and seeing his color picture, she finally said, well, he may be the man. So then they did a lineup. And the lineup had no one else who was in the mugshots. He was the only one whose picture was there in color. And the woman said, yes, I think that's him. So they arrested him, they charged him. But he was still filled with hope. He was filled with hope because he knew that the person who had seen the bicycle get stolen, he knew that the bicycle had been found at the scene. He knew who did it. And he was filled with even more hope when he was brought in for his arraignment in court. There was this Lincoln guy in there having been charged with an almost identical assault and robbery. So he was filled with hope. But his attorney refused to call the man whose bike was stolen and could identify Lincoln. He refused to call Lincoln. He didn't put forward any defense whatsoever. And so Marvin was convicted by an all-white jury and sentenced to 204 years in prison. And his hope began to become resignation. I mean, in some ways, his story is like extreme, but like many of ours, that we live on this sort of meter of hope and resignation. Hope and resignation. We grow up as kids, and we think we're really good at sports, right? So we're over here with hope that maybe we will make the major leagues, maybe we'll make the Olympics, or maybe I'm a musician and I practice and I'm gonna not just make the band, but maybe I will make the symphony orchestra, and we're filled with hope. And then somewhere along the way, well, we're not quite as good, we don't quite make it, and we begin to move towards this sense of resignation that maybe our hopes are not going to be fulfilled. Or at work, we're over here with hope. We know we've done well. We've done everything we're supposed to do. We have done excellently. And so we have hope that this promotion that's coming up will be ours, or this job that's opening up will be ours. And we're just filled with hope. And then someone else gets the job and the promotion doesn't come our way. And we begin to move towards resignation that maybe this is all there is. Or we get a difficult diagnosis, one we didn't expect, didn't see coming. And at first, we're filled with dread, but hope that there will be a surgery, there will be a procedure, there will be a medication There'll be a chemo drug. There will be something that will get us through this. And then when it doesn't seem to work, when it doesn't go away, we begin to move over towards resignation. I mean, this is life, right? And we move toward resignation, then maybe we have hope, and then we move back and forth on this hope-resignation meter. And I offer that because both of our stories are about people who, I believe, had found themselves way over here on the resignation end of things. For the people who received this message from the prophet Isaiah, they were over here on the resignation end because these were people who were living in captivity in Babylon. Their nation had been utterly and completely destroyed. Their temple had been burned down. There was nothing left. And in fact, the prophet Jeremiah had said, listen, you guys just need to settle in, make lives for yourselves, resign yourselves that pretty much this is it. You are going to be here in Babylon. There is no going home. And though this prophet, a prophet named Ezekiel, said, well, you know, you will go home. There was a little bit of hope, but pretty much after several generations, It was resignation that nothing was going to change. And the same thing for Mary. Mary and all the Galilean Jews, occasionally they would have some hope of change, but pretty much they were resigned to the fact that they would be under the thumb of the Roman Empire forever. That God's kingdom would never come, because every time they got their hopes up, every time there was a so-called Savior who would arrive, they would be executed, killed, driven out by the Romans and by the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem. And so pretty much, I think, day to day, they were resigned that this was the way it was going to be, that Rome and Roman culture would simply seep in and eventually destroy them and their faith. Resignation was where they lived. But then, they got a word. They got a word of hope from God. And not just a word of hope from God, a word of hope that pointed to a reality that they hadn't seen coming. For the Jews living in exile in Babylon, they had heard rumors of this guy named Cyrus the Persian, this rising power in the east that was defeating Babylonian armies, that was moving closer and closer. And then they get this word, listen again, thinking about that this is about this Cyrus who is beginning to bring God's judgment upon Babylon. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Let's draw together for judgment. Who has roused a victor from the east, summoned him to his service? He delivers up nations to him and tramples king underfoot. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, who am first and will be the last. And I am saying to you, you Israel are my servant. I've chosen you. I've not cast you off. Don't be afraid. For I'm your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious hand. Suddenly, the meter began to move. With every victory of Cyrus and every proclamation of his coming, that this was God's doing for the freedom of God's people, resignation began to become hope. And the same for Mary. Mary, who is probably somewhere over in here in the resignation spectrum, suddenly this angelic being appears and says, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive and bear in your womb a son who you will name Yeshua, Jesus," meaning God saves. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And suddenly, the stories that Mary had heard, these hope-filled stories that one day God would act, were becoming real in her life. And it wasn't just a word. It was a word that would become reality in this stunning and unbelievable pregnancy. And you could just see her beginning to move from resignation to hope. Such hope that she goes and visits Elizabeth, because the angel said, "Listen, Elizabeth, who's been barren all these years, she too is going to have this miraculous child." And Mary believes. Her hope pushes her to go and visit and see her. A word from God, resignation moving to hope. See, and this is where we are supposed to be living. We are supposed to be the people who are not afraid to move off of resignation and move towards hope. Now, I wish I could say that hope means all your dreams will come true, that everything you hope for will turn out. But I can't do that. Life doesn't work that way. We are not word of faith people who say, "Well, if you believe enough, you know, you'll become rich and healthy and wealthy and wise and everything will be perfect." But what I can say is that we are to be people of hope. Hope meaning that even if our dream of playing in the big leagues and being famous doesn't come true, that God still has something for us to do, that God is not finished with us. That if we don't get that promotion or that job, that doesn't define our character. That God is not finished with us and still has something for us to do. That even if that diagnosis is terminal, that we still have hope because we believe in life after life. We believe that God is not finished with us. We are to have hope because we believe what Isaiah tells the people. "Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." We are to be people of hope because God isn't done with us yet and never will be. In many ways, Marvin had resigned himself to life in prison. But then he found some hope. He found some hope because this Lincoln guy, when he was finally convicted later of the other assault and robbery, confessed to the one for which Marvin had been put in prison. And he told the police and the court under oath things that only the one committing the crime would know. And so there was hope. There was hope for Marvin. But the judge in the case said, "No, no, you're still guilty. We're not going to let you have a new trial." And then they began to discover DNA. His conviction was prior to sort of rapid DNA testing, and he knew that there was DNA from the assault And so he had hope again. He had hope that they could do the DNA test and it would free him. But it turns out they had destroyed what they thought was all the DNA 4 years after his conviction. And he began to move back to resignation. But then someone found just in a notebook kept by one of the investigating officers that was supposed to have been destroyed, wasn't, that there was DNA. And so his attorney went to the court and said, "Listen, we're hopeful. Let us test the DNA." And the judge said, "No, I don't give you permission to do that." But then he contacted this organization called the Innocence Project. And they appealed that ruling. And they were granted permission to test the DNA. And guess what? It wasn't Marvin's. It was this guy named Lincoln. And so they paroled him. They didn't let him off. They put him on parole. And for 5 years, he was on parole, having to check in every week with his parole officer. And after 5 years, he talks about he was driving a delivery truck, and his cell phone rang, and it was his attorney saying he had been granted a full pardon by the governor of Virginia. All of those years of swinging between hope and resignation. So what's he doing now? Marvin Anderson is the captain of the Hanover, Virginia Fire Department. His hopes, his dreams through all of that finally became a reality. And that's the kind of hope that you and I are called to hold on to. We're called to not be afraid to hope even in the most desperate of circumstances. Trusting and believing that this God who has come to us in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, is the one who offers us possibilities in the midst of impossibilities. And so my challenge to you for this week is to ask yourself the question that Cindy asked earlier: how am I holding on to hope? How am I holding on to hope, knowing that God is not done with me yet? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that in the midst of difficult times, you show up. You show up with a word. You show up with an event. You show up with a transformative moment that allows us to see new possibilities, that allows us to see new truth, that allows us to hold on to hope. Help us to never be afraid to hold that hope, knowing that you are our God and that you will always give us the strength we need to survive. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
it came a floweret bright amid the cold of winter, when half spent was the
Please pray with me. God of all time and place, as we bow our heads to you today, we are overwhelmed. We are overwhelmed and confused and scared. Our confusion and fear is not just for us, but also for our neighbor. And yes, even for the stranger. We are on an unknown road as we enter the season of Advent. Help us to remember that you are on this road with us. And encourage us, O God, to keep our trust in you. For in this trust there is great hope. You have promised many things, and you have always kept your promises. Help us to keep our promises to you. There is so much hurt in this world today, O Lord. As we ask for your healing, touch, inspire us to enter the season of Advent with anticipation and excitement to be living gifts to one another. As the days get shorter and the nights get longer, guide us to eagerly shine your light in the world and be living testaments to the hope found in you. In your love, you have promised to strengthen us, help us, and uphold us. As we hold fast to the hope which that brings, we ask that you empower us to be beacons of that hope in the world. Help us seek for and remain open to your transformative power. And now hear us as we join together in the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for the benediction. Immediately, we're experimenting here. Immediately after the benediction is the passing of the peace. I encourage you to do this. Pass the peace and then be seated for the postlude, and then an usher will show you out of the building. And so now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen. And may the peace of Christ be with you all.